All right. If you're not a morning person, raise your hand. Hold on, that's all of you twice. How'd that happen? What in the world? Okay, so I do have some people here with me. I am not a morning person. So if that's you, you and I are in the same group, but it is wonderful to be together this morning and to be able to gather. And if this is your first time back, then welcome back. And it's a special, special thing to be in a place with other Christians worshiping together, isn't it? And just hearing other voices singing. And I've even heard comments from people who are we don't live stream this broadcast, but we of course do the other one. And those that have not been basically a visitor who's visiting from home, we have kind of some novel concepts now. But mention just the refreshment and the blessing it was just to hear hymns, you know, just to hear songs sung by Christians together. So it's absolutely a blessing to be together. This morning we're going to talk about radical holiness, and our theme this year is radical living, and we have a few different subtopics, and one of those subtopics is holiness. And the fact is, we live in a very unholy world. And I remember growing up hearing what I would term at that point old people talking about how bad things were getting. And one of the common frequent comments would be television and how bad shows were getting on television, and there's nothing good to watch on television. You remember hearing that? And saying that, maybe, I'm not calling anyone old, but I'm now old, and I'm now saying it. And it's just amazing how, our nation and our society is headed the wrong way. It's headed a way that is immoral and impure and unholy. And yet God calls us not just to holiness, but what probably in our mind, what would seem radical, what might seem extreme. But the idea with radical that we're using with this theme is just all in. It's, you know, we don't want to be halfway in. We don't want to do something part way. We want to be all the way in for God. So let's run back to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 says, "You shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, and I have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." And there are a couple different aspects of holiness. One is it's set apart. So this is your, if you have china, if you have something nice in your home that you have displayed in a special place, maybe it's hanging on a wall, maybe it's in a cabinet behind glass, maybe it's packed up like, there were times when we had our china packed up and it's not on display, but it is preserved, it's set apart, it's special. So that's a part of holiness. But the other part of holiness is purity. Moral purity. So 1 Peter 1:15, here's a passage in our New Testament. "As he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And the Greek word translated holy is hagios. It means sacred, pure, morally blameless. I remember a few years ago when I was sick, I think I had a cold, I used this thing called a neti pot. Have you ever used a neti pot? Okay, do you know what a neti pot is? Any more hands? So, used this thing which sounded fabulous at first till I kind of understood what that really was and what that was about. I won't go into great detail. It'll gross mom out. It'll gross me out. But, you're rinsing your sinuses, okay, with this pot. You're using gravity, what have you. So, I did that once or twice, and that was interesting. But, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And then later, I read a story, you may have heard a story, about someone contracting, a disease because they used a neti pot, but the water was not pure, and there was, I don't know if it was bacteria, I don't know what the issue was, I just remember neti pot, disease, brain destruction, I don't know, it sounded bad to me. And so from then on, I have not used my neti pot since. And the reason is, I'm not convinced that the water I have is the right water I'm supposed to use, right? And so I don't want to destroy my brain. I need all of that I have. And I know your sinuses are not your brain, But I've had a flu test where they went up to my sinuses and I felt that tickle on the back of my skull, and it's right there close to your brain. And so I'm not convinced, you know, is it purified water? Is it ionized water? Is it, you know, spring water? Which water is it supposed to be? And so I've not yet felt comfortable enough that I had the right water, that I wanted to risk it, right? Plus, I don't like doing that anyway, using that neti pot. Pure, purity. You know, holy is the idea of you have something that's kind. Is it kind of holy? That's not completely holy. Holy is it's moral purity, and so it's not a halfway thing. And that's why our term radical is appropriate for what we're focusing on. Holiness is it's radical. It is all in. It is extreme, and it surely seems extreme to us, but that's what God calls us to. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ." So, there's a story told, and I've first read this as, and I think it may be true, actually. Some stories obviously are kind of made up, and I think this one's true. And as the story goes, a kindergartner, first day of kindergarten, about noon, he starts packing up his stuff. He starts getting his backpack ready and his stuff, and he's getting ready to go home. And his teacher said, "Johnny, what are you doing?" "I'm getting my stuff ready to go home." And she says, "Johnny, this, in kindergarten, you go all day. We go till, you know, 3:30. It's not preschool where you go half a day. We go till 3:30. And Johnny's response was, "Well, who signed me up for this?" You know, sometimes you get in a position and you think, "Well, what is this about? I didn't know it was going to be this." As Christians, I don't know that any of us are ignorant going into this. When we gave our lives to Christ, we knew we were giving our lives to a master who called us to a better life, to a holy life, to a pure life. That's what we were called to. That's what this is about. So let's look at Galatians. I want to look at this passage in Galatians. This is fruit of the Spirit and acts of the flesh or works of the flesh. And in verse 16, it starts out talking about if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are unholy. And so, and then verse 17 talks about this, that these two things oppose each other. Each of us have and should have parts of us that oppose each other. If you don't have a war going on inside you, you're probably not doing something right, because your flesh will continue to cry out and want what it wants, and it's selfish. And Satan will continue to tempt you no matter what your age is, right? Young, old, Satan will tempt us, and he'll change his tactics, but he still comes at us. So we have this war going on. Verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident. So if we want to answer the question, why does God want us to be holy? Well, here's what unholiness looks like. Tell me, as we read through this, if you see this in our world. So sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, which anytime I read idolatry, Scripture clarifies that greed is idolatry. So I draw in greed at that point, because that's a lot more of, I think, how we struggle with that in our society anyway. So idolatry, greed, sorcery. Are we seeing any, have you heard of Wiccan? Any paganism? Witchcraft, which people don't like to use that word, but that's those things are growing in our, even in our society. Sorcery, enmity. Enmity is hostility. This is aggressiveness. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. We see that in our world. When you watch the news, you see this, don't you? When you watch the news and get depressed about about the ungodliness that's going on in our world or the pain. Sometimes we read or hear a story and it's just painful to hear. It's just painful. It's tragic. And the most tragic to me is usually when one person commits a crime against another or other people. And those stories break our heart. And they break God's heart too because they're unholy. They're immoral. So let's read on. What does fruit of the Spirit look like? This is what holiness looks like. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what holy is. I like that list. Right? I mean, this is what we want, this list. We want to live here. We want to live in this neighborhood. We want to be around these people. We want this in our life. And so sometimes when God is telling us quit doing something that's immoral, quit gossiping, quit being bitter, quit being envious or jealous, quit being greedy, quit complaining. So when God tells us to quit some of these things, well, we kind of like to do those things. But God is trying to lead us to this list. He's trying to lead us to holiness, and He's leading us away from immorality. So let's look, flip to Philippians. We'll go to Philippians in just a minute. I want to hit this real quick. So Hebrews, just a short verse here, but this answers the question. It kind of completes the question, why holiness? And the answer is because without holiness, we can't even see God. If we can't walk in holiness, which is where God is, we can't be with God. So we can't live our worldly life here and then go enjoy an eternity with God. So Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So we pause there for a second. How have we done with that this year, you think? How's our world done with verse 14? This is God's instruction. Now, the world doesn't know God like we do. So they're not, it's not that it's not still sin, but you don't really expect the world to follow God if they don't know God. But you and I do. So the world's failed this one miserably. We would expect that. How's the church done? All things without grumbling or disputing. And I'm not innocent. I mean, how many times have we said something negative about 2020? Several. And I have to admit, I said something yesterday. I don't know that I'm... Sometimes we don't think about what we're doing. Who gave us 2020? God did. I mean, every day we live this year is a gift from God, and every breath we took this year, even through a mask, is still the gift of God. Try to live and not breathe at all. Go, just hold your breath and then see how the mask is. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about God gives us things, and maybe we fail to appreciate them because we do have some hardships now, and we do have some worries now. But we still have the same God, and we're still alive. So 2020 is a blessing in Christ, and that's something that I need to think more about, maybe you too. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent. Innocent. I don't know that we want to be, I don't know that this is an attractive thing for people to be. People want to be not, they want to be in the know. They don't want to be ignorant. They don't want to be unknowing. They want to be aware. And so sometimes innocent comes with this idea of, if you think of a young person being sheltered. Do we want our children to be sheltered? Well, in a way we should, because sheltered also generally means innocent. As adults, we should desire to be innocent. As adults, we should desire to have something happen or a word used, and we don't know what that's about. What is that? We should want to be ignorant about immorality. I'm not talking about temptation so we can be smart, right? I'm talking about the world. Innocent. That should be our desire, to be innocent. We tend to have the desire to be treated properly, right? Our rights. We want fairness. But innocence, when we desire innocence, we're not always going to be treated right. Children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. I was at a wedding. I performed a wedding yesterday, and every wedding that I've been around, it all kind of goes the same way. Usually I've seen, we've done rehearsals where the rehearsal, typically the night before, but anymore I've had rehearsals where it was the week before, and then yesterday, and I've had more and more like this, the rehearsal's the same day. So when you do a rehearsal the same day, it's kind of weird walking in to this place about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours before, I'd say 5 hours before the ceremony. And all the ladies who are going to be in the ceremony, their hair's all in curlers. And they go through the rehearsal with their hair in curlers, right? No one's wearing what they're going to wear at the ceremony, especially the bride. I mean, no one sees the bride's dress, the crowd at the wedding. No one's going to see that till she appears. In fact, this was an outdoor wedding. They closed a couple. When the bride comes, approaches the aisle, they could close a couple doors so you can't even see her. And then here's this unveiling of this bride. The dress is without blemish. It's pure. It's white. It's beautiful. The goal is perfect, right? The bride wants to look perfect. And Scripture talks about us. We're the bride of Christ. And when Jesus comes back, one thing He will do is present the bride, you and I, to the Father without blemish. And that happens through His blood. We know that. But our goal should desire to be that way as a people, like a bride, without blemish. And it's not easy because we're in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Amen? I mean, it's a twisted world. And the temptations are everywhere. But the more we are holy, we should shine brighter like lights in the world, holding fast to the Word of life. Why do we have to hold fast to the Word of life? Because it's so easy for the church to just be a little better than the world, to shine like dim lights, like lights you can barely see. Yes, it's shining. There's darkness around it, but it's very dim. I wonder sometimes if that's how we are, if we're just a little better than the world. And 50 years ago, we were a little better than the world. And maybe 100 years ago, the church was a little bit, you know. The church should be so close to godliness that as the world is more worldly, we should shine so much brighter. All right, Ephesians 5:3. I want to hit on these couple of scriptures here. Well, one in the ESV, and then I want to reference the NIV. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness, which others, your Bible may say greed, must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. NIV says, must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. And that's the idea here is our goal is not better. Our goal is that there's not a hint of it. Not a hint of it. That's our goal. I'm not talking about what we can attain. We cannot attain perfection, but is perfection our goal? Because that's what God is. This is what holiness looks like. So let's run down some things that are unholy. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers. A reviler is someone who criticizes in an angry, abusive way. That's what reviling is. Swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, we see a list here, and you may not see your struggle here, but let me throw in some more that Scripture talks about that are unholy, that are sinful. Things like envy, bitterness, divisiveness, gossip, slander, foul language, lying, cheating, stealing, outbursts of anger, lust, immodesty, self-righteousness. That's a tricky one. Self-righteousness. Satan's good. He's clever. He's crafty. Self-righteousness is tricky because it seems good, right? I'm doing good. I tell you what, I sure wish everyone else would get their act together. I'm doing good. That's self-righteous. Selfishness. Those are unholy. And then this scripture, maybe you've read or heard this one before. Maybe it's kind of troubled you. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We know that perfection is not attainable for us. If it was, we would not need Jesus' sacrifice. God would just say, you need to get to work. And when you get there, then you'll be saved. I'll take you to heaven. So we're not talking literal perfect, but holiness looks perfect. And this is about what are we trying to do? What are we aiming for in your life, in your relationships, in your privacy within you, in your own world that no one else knows about? What are we striving for? I want to contrast a couple things and wrap this up. When you go to a job interview, you are trying to present, you know the phrase, put your best foot forward. You never go to a job interview and say, listen, I've got some issues as an employee. I mean, I know them and I'll just tell you. You're never going to get a job that way. So you're trying to kind of hide your blemishes as an employee, right? And I contrast that with, if you've ever had a scan, if you've ever had an MRI, you ever been fortunate to have one of these MRI? Raise your hand. Be proud. These are fun tests. They're expensive, and they are, painful is really not the word, but maybe it was for you. But you get in a position in this machine and get comfortable because you're going to be there about 25 minutes. And don't move at all, or this won't work, and it's going to run the scan. And we have to do it over. And so I remember I had a couple MRIs at two different times, but I remember laying in this machine as still as I could. And one time, so I don't really have claustrophobia, but one time was for my shoulder. I was in it, so it was tight, kind of tight around me. And anyway, I did real good toward the end. Then I started to kind of get weird and panic about it. But it's not pleasant. But I remember working so hard to stay still because I want them to see whatever is wrong. Look at this verse. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. That's that same mentality. This is God, you scan me. Head to toe, my hands, my actions, my words, scan my thoughts, scan it all. It's a spiritual scan. This is God, you search me. And if there's anything wrong, help me fix it. Help me fix it. Isn't that something? We don't tend to do that. Adam and Eve didn't do that in the garden after they ate the fruit. They didn't do that. They didn't say, God, come help us. They went and hid. And we tend to do that. We tend to justify. We rationalize. We say, well, you know, but see, here's the deal. I'm just this. Or, well, that's just, we have all these ways to justify things. And I leave you with this reminder that there's only one way for us to be holy. We can't find holiness I'm going to be like Grandma because I know Grandma was one of the most godly people I ever knew. That's the wrong model. Holiness is in this book, and if my mind is in this, if I'm reading this or having it read to me, I love technology, if this book is in my mind, I will know what holy is. It's the only place to find it, and the only way to achieve it is through God's help and Christ's help. And so I remind you, radical holiness, that's what we're seeking. That's what we're after. And so open your heart to God. Let Him change you. Let Him convict you. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Let God change your heart. We're going to sing the song of encouragement. And if you're here, if you want us to lift you up in prayer about something, if there's someone who's never given their life to Christ, you'd like to this morning, we'd love to help you do that. Come as we stand and sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee, out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee.